Okay, hi, you're listening to Matt Taylor on the M of One podcast, and you can find me all over the internet at Matt Taylor Draws.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that isn't ready for the heat but can't wait for the blockbusters. In this episode, we talk about stage design, upgrade, and SDCC exclusives. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So grab lots of napkins, because it's time to dip our hands into another buttery episode.
Ugh, gross.
Off every episode, we like to talk about things that are happening in our lives. We call it Around the Table, which is where we talk about things that are happening in our lives. And I stand by that. Yeah. If you didn't hear it the first time, now you know. Patrick, what is new with you, my friend?
Holy cow. I am in Texas, and it is 100 degrees, but there are other things that are happening. The problem is, as I'm starting to use words out loud, I'm realizing that you are going to talk about what is happening later in this episode. That's what just clicked with me, because I got to take my first official living in, near San Antonio visit to Alamo Drafthouse, and ran into some people there. But I'm guessing, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, that's literally exactly what you're about to talk about in the master categories.
No, it's not at all.
Great. So I could talk about what I saw. So we went and saw the new Melissa McCarthy film, Life of the Party. Now, Life of the Party is about a middle-aged a woman that kind of ends up because her husband wants a divorce. She's going through obviously very emotional time and a bit of a midlife crisis, and she decides to do the thing that she dropped just short of before, which is she wanted to finish her time at college. Now, there's a bit of a twist in that her daughter is also a senior at the same university, and so she's going to the college where her daughter is, and certainly shenanigans ensue. So this movie was actually written by Melissa McCarthy and her husband, and of course, she figures prominently in it, along with a cast of people you would know. I mean, there's a lot of people that you'd recognize from the film. The people I went with seemed to really have a great time and laugh a lot. It just felt entirely too improv for me. It didn't feel finished. It felt like it was, hey, the camera's rolling, say some funny stuff and we'll move on. And maybe we moved on just a bit too soon. Andrew, I know you feel totally differently about this.
Oh, I mean, I do. I think, I don't know that I feel totally different. A lot of the film did feel improv, but I think in the best way. I think it was like the first showing we've had of Melissa McCarthy in a while, where it's the things that we loved about Melissa McCarthy when she first came out, and she kind of deviated from them, and she got a little bit raunchier and a little bit dirtier, and it was all physical comedy, Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. But this movie, it felt like, since she wrote it with her husband, it felt like it was a return to the Melissa McCarthy that I really liked. I went in with very low expectations because of that, because I assumed that it was going to be maybe raunchy or whatever in a way that would be kind of off-putting. Not that I need choir boy, style movies. It's not that, but it didn't always ring true.
It came great after a while, for sure.
Yeah, but this one I thought was very fresh. It was very fun. There were a couple of twists in it that legitimately, because it's not the kind of movie that you expect to have twists, caught me off guard, and I loved it. Like, there was a gasp moment where we all kind of realized something that was happening in the movie, and the entire audience kind of gasped, and it was very fun. I laughed hard multiple times in the movie, for sure. So
yeah, Mackenzie... I don't know why y'all make me yawn. Holy cow. Mackenzie put it a good way. It is more of like, if you're familiar with Gilmore Girls, Suki off of that show, it's more like that version of Melissa McCarthy. So it's a much kind of more family-friendly version. This is a movie that you could absolutely take your mom to go see. This is a movie that I would especially say mother-daughter pairs. This is a great movie to go see.
There might be a couple of cringy moments depending on the age of the daughter, but especially if you're college age or older, going with your mom, I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this would absolutely. I can 100% agree with that. Beyond that, did I enjoy the movie? No, but I can understand the demographic that would enjoy the movie. So I don't think it's, you know, some colossal failure, which I'm sure people would love to scream at you. So anyway, that's the big thing for me this week. There is a game that the three of us have been covertly playing that we're not allowed to talk about. And I'm sure that's been taking up a lot of our time as well. but beyond that, that's about it for me. If anybody's got an inside lead on a stack of 24 by 36 poster frames, shoot a message my way. Otherwise, Luke, why don't you go ahead and go?
Okay. Really not much this week. I've just been playing the same games I was playing Far Cry and Hearthstone. Both are still great. Beat Ninja's still fun. Video games are the best. Other than that, I started watching, did you guys ever watch the show Spartacus? It was a Starz show and it's on Netflix. There's like Absolutely. Four seasons.
I watched the whole first season of it.
Okay. Yeah. So I started over watching the first season because I made it through season one and two, like
it's two like or Spartacus 3 years ago. Of Blood and Sand or yes, something like that.
Exactly. But the seasons have names. There's not like season numbers. So I started watching that again. It's pretty good. It's not, I don't know, it's not great, and I think that's why I fell off before, but I'm looking for something to watch that is interesting, and so far I am disappointed with things I've been finding. So
the deal is, Spartacus, maybe I'm wrong, because it's been a while since I saw the, I mean, so Spartacus was coming out when I was, right when I started back to college, so this would have been 8 years ago, years ago, something like this.
And
if I remember correctly, I don't think it was terrible on ratings. I think it did okay, but didn't the lead character like die of cancer in real life?
I think so, yeah, and so they had to change the lead.
And I want to say it was like after the first or second season, like it was pretty early in the show that I think he actually got cancer and died. It was a very bizarre.
We might want to look that up just to make sure. But I think you're right. I think I remember hearing something about that. But yeah,
I'll look it up while you keep talking.
Okay. It's not terrible. It's, it's Spartacus. It's gladiators. It's blood. It's gore. It's cool. It's whatever. But I am actively looking for something else to watch that is fun. Season two or the next iteration of, I just blanked on it. The movie, the Netflix, mockumentary about the kids that, spray painted penises on the cars. American Vandals. American Vandals. Yeah. There's a season two of that sometime soon, so that'll be great. And Great British Baking Show is coming real soon.
Okay. Which, of course, I'm excited about.
Sure.
And you're excited about. Sure. And Andrew doesn't care about at all. Sure,
that's fine. All of that
is
fine.
We watched it last night. Chandra has never watched an episode of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I watched the cake episode, which is the first episode of... What, the first season, right?
I don't know. There's a lot of cake episodes.
Well, the episode is just called Cake. That's okay. All. That's what it's called.
You. Okay,
sure. Let me guess what they made.
So, was it cake? But this is the fourth time I've watched that damn episode. Like, that's the thing. Like,
well, you should have just been adamant about something else.
I watched it the first time. I watched it like a while ago, I guess, when you guys first talked about it.
Sure.
And didn't care for it, didn't care about it. Like, I wasn't angry at it, but I was like, it's just another baking show. Then I watched it again fell asleep during it and then had to watch it a third time to watch it all the way through. And this was like that after that last conversation, there was a whole big, right after we switched over to Discord, there was a whole big conversation about it in the Discord, family channel. That was when I watched it the third time. Sure. So this was the fourth time watching it through.
And so what are your thoughts?
I still don't know who won because I stopped caring the end of it. I legitimately, the whole time I was engaged. I mean, I laughed at a couple moments, hearing like some of the stuff they were saying. And I thought that it was well done and it was fun at certain moments. But by the time it got to the end, they had done three different baking challenges. Yeah. I didn't care. I don't know who went home and I don't know who won.
Oh, well, that sucks for you. It's a great show.
Well, to answer the question from earlier, Andy Whitfield was the initial lead in Spartacus.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with, I'd follow up with non-Hodgkin's.
You heard nothing about what I just said about it.
Well, just like you with the show. You heard nothing of the end.
He stopped caring. Because
you're still negative about it.
The second cake, he stopped caring.
You're still negative about it. I have to tune out negative energy. That's what my doctor said. He got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. It actually held up production of season two.
Ugh.
So he got diagnosed either before season two started or sometime during production of season two. So very early in the run of the show. Yeah. And he ended up dying within 18 months of his diagnosis.
Oh, gosh, that's
and so he was recast before that happened. Right. He was recast by Liam McIntyre, who ends up being the lead. So you may actually only see him in season one of the show.
Right. Yeah, so that's I think that's right. I think it's only season one because I remember from when I watched it earlier, second season came out. I was like, wait, is this the same person? And I thought it was just a casting difference, but then looked it up and I kind of remember that story now. But yeah, if you like gladiator type shows or themes, it's good. Other than that, the week has been the week. Andrew. You talk about it.
Okay. I really didn't do a ton of extracurricular this week. I worked every day, and every day we played some games, and then I came home. I've been preparing. So I think a lot of that is I've been trying to button up some client work before I go out of town. So in the morning, I actually fly to back to Ohio to visit my mom for a few days. And so I've just been trying to get everything ready and prepared for that. And so not a whole lot has happened in terms of really doing much. I did see that movie, like Patrick said, and I did see a movie at the tail end of last week that I'm going to talk about for my master category. But for the most part, not a whole lot has happened. There has been, we watched Jurassic Park with Cooper.
Nice.
And that was a ton of fun. We've been going back and watching older movies, you know, like 90s movies with Cooper. We watched E.T. with him a few weeks before that. And we watched, what was the other one that we watched with him? I'm totally blanking right now. Anyway, I think they've all been Spielberg movies, so far too. But anyway, it's been pretty cool. It's got me really jazzed for Jurassic World. I'm like super excited for that. These next few weeks of movies are just going to be, there's a lot to look forward to. So I'm really excited about that.
Sure.
The other thing I've been kind of watching the clock kind of tick down and, next week, the game by Keymaster Games, Caper, is going on pre-order on their website. So I'm excited for that because I'm looking forward to getting that. That's like the beginning of August, I think, is when that ships out.
I'll be picking up my copy next Saturday.
Why? Where?
Origins.
How?
Origins in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, why can't it be this weekend? Because that's where I'm going to be.
Sorry.
That's stupid. Maybe I'll just stay an extra week. So I'm excited to get my hands on that and play that. But for the most part, that's really been all that's been going on. I will go ahead and leave the around the table on that note. And up next, Master Categories. The Master Categories section each week is when we get to talk about the tokens we drew the week before, which give us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. Patrick.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us?
Absolutely. So this week I'm bringing you information about toys and games, and very appropriate as there's a soon to be, and when I say soon to be, I mean literally right now, a lot of STCC exclusives being announced, release, pre-orders, and then certainly the event is coming up. But we have two really cool things going on specifically this week that I wanted to highlight and then talk about some of the things that you are excited for with STCC. So the first, and unfortunately, when you're listening to this, you will have already missed out, and that's fine, but that's just the way the cookie is crumbling this week.
Unless you go to Comic-Con.
Unless you go to Comic-Con, but NECA has a honestly a really good lineup this year. They have some fun things like their Groot Chia Pet, which is pretty hilarious looking. Although I don't know that Chia Pets ever actually turn out the way you think they're going to turn out. I mean, the Chia Pets, it's BS. But
the way you said that sounded like you were doing the Chia. Yeah, sounded like you're doing the jingle. The Chia.
Yeah, it's just a garbage. But they are doing a Groot version of that. They have their Guillermo del Toro 8-inch clothed figure. And then actually the one I like probably the best is they have a 7-inch scale figure of Hawkins from Predator. But none of that matters to you, Andrew.
So wait, so hang on.
Yes.
Are you... There's a link, right, that has all this stuff as a blog post, right?
Yes. Well,
can you tell everybody? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong link. Okay. So this link. Okay. Never mind.
Just links abound. Though in the show notes, I'll include this. So I'm talking specifically about NECA releases right now, but there's a lot of other releases. I'm about to talk about a Funko release that's coming as well. But the last thing, the thing on NECA I wanted to highlight was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles box set. And this is, so the box set looks like the original movie cover, and then it's all four turtles. Now, what are the scale on these?
So these aren't actually scaled. They're 7 inches.
Okay.
So they're not like an actual scale, but they are based on the quarter scale figures that they released last year.
Yes.
It's the same exact sculpt, paint, and everything. The mold is just smaller.
And I had never seen the quarter scales until this week because EJ, who we've had on the show before, he was on during our
Infinity War.
Yes, Infinity War review. He actually has one of the quarter scale figures, and that figure is beautiful. I mean, I don't know that you could pick out anything about it to complain about. And so this is the 7-inch version of this. And again, it's going to be the 1990 Turtles. And of course, it comes with accessories and stuff like that. Additionally, they have a street scene diorama that would mate very well to these. So what NECA is doing is certainly they're going to have these at SDCC. However, they're also doing pre-orders. So yes, the last 2 days, I'm sorry, let me say that. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's those 3 days. So again, this will be ending on Friday. This episode comes out on Tuesday. You'll just miss it. But they're opening up a limited amount of these exclusives for pre-order on their site. And then, of course, if you miss the pre-orders, then you can get them at the event. And I have to imagine they'll all be gone at the event. But they look awesome. Now, that's the Turtles.
I'm really excited about that because I never pulled the trigger because the other ones are like $125 a piece or $140
for the quarter scale.
For the quarter scale, and they take up a lot of space, and I need all the space I can get for my big ugly Japanese one that I have.
It's just staring me in the eye right now.
It's so gross. Yes, Patrick is sitting right next to it. Ugh. I wish we were still doing video right now. This would be perfect for video.
Chance. Burn it.
Hey, wait. Here's the deal. Here's what we can do. Patrick, take a picture of it and then just put that in the show notes.
Actually, so I will right now.
Put a picture of you looking at like a selfie with it right next to your head to show everybody just how close you are.
Okay, keep talking so I can take this picture.
So what I'm excited about, I wanted to get them, but I didn't have enough space in my studio, on my shelf, or whatever, and I didn't want to dedicate, almost $600 to these figures. So now I get that same figure. I can get that same figure all for less than the price of all four of the big ones. And they're great. I mean, they look beautiful. They look just like the 1990 movie version.
This just dwarfs this blank by Huck G.
Oh, absolutely. And that thing is massive.
And then also you've got your Beat Ninja Trooper, and again, just dwarfs it.
They go below his waist. Yeah, it's a massive figure.
Yeah, but also the Mickey Mouse ears do make it taller.
I stand by how awesome that is. It's like Godzilla if Godzilla were a Ninja Turtle.
And yeah, on ugly. Acid. Okay, so one of the other cool things, so Funko, so last week, this is why this is appropriate to talk about. Last week you talked about Making Fun, the documentary by Funko.
In that documentary,
there is a screenshot that shows one of the Funko artists working at a tablet at their desk, and they have one of the SDCC exclusives on their tablet while they're working. And so if you watch the documentary, you would have seen a couple of SDCC exclusives that hadn't been announced yet. Well, those are two characters. Well, you only see two characters in the film, but it's Luke Wilson and Gwyneth Paltrow's characters from the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yep.
And
he's wearing the tennis headband.
Yes, and then he's got the big, like, those amber, like, glasses that he wears, which I'm so excited for those. Both of them look awesome, and I especially love... So, one thing I don't know, because when they're showing the Gwyneth Paltrow character, there's actually three different expressions that you're seeing. So, I don't know if it's three different versions that'll be available, or if it's... I have no idea, but I do know Funko has confirmed those are coming out for SDCC, and so we will see those at the event. I'm not sure what else we will see, but I think that's a really cool Easter egg that you would have caught if you had watched the documentary. So beyond that, there's a couple other really cool things I've heard about. I know that one person, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is they're doing an early 90s Boba Fett character. It's a figure that they actually took and had scanned and reprinted at a larger scale. So there's some cool things that like that are coming out.
You're talking about like the original like 70s Boba Fett.
Yes. Right?
By Gentle Giant, is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Is that okay. STCC?
Yeah, that's SDCC.
Great. Yep. That one is good. Anyway, I'm seeing a lot of stuff that's like beanies and plushes and things like that. But I'm curious for what y'all have seen for SDCC. Is there anything that stands out to y'all that y'all are excited about for the event?
I mean, I've just been looking through the link that you sent because honestly, I haven't been seeing much. But the Matcha Snake Venom variant from Kill Cats, the Kit Kat vinyl figure, is super good. It's like it's just super clean and fun design. It's really good. I like it.
Honestly, I think the Ninja Turtle ones are the most exciting, and I'm so excited because we're not going this year that they're available outside. You better believe I'm going to be trying to do it tomorrow on my phone while traveling.
Patrick can do it. You just pay him back.
Oh, that's true. You can do it, Patrick. It's not like they're like super expensive.
I mean, I'm certainly willing to try.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
The worst that happens is I fail.
Yeah, well, yeah. But well, other than that,
and
I mean,
Andrew tries, and then if you have two, you can just eBay the other. That's easy.
That's true too. Well, oh, okay. Here's one thing that I'm sad about. I'm excited to see it, but I'm sad.
My face.
Well, yeah. I'm actually not looking at your face right now. I'm looking at a website.
I'm talking about.
So
Saturday,
I'm happy right
dummy.
Now. Here's what I'm happy to see, but I'm sad that I don't get to experience. Matt Taylor's exclusive Mondo SDCC collaboration print.
Now, aren't they doing, though, even if you're at the event, you can only get it if you get drawn in the lottery, correct?
Yes. Well, they're drawing the lottery before the event, even. I think it's in the next week or so. You had to have already submitted by this week at some point, you would have had to have already submitted that you wanted a chance to do it because there's only 1,000 prints being made. 24 by 36, Matt Taylor, 8-color, I think, 7 or 8-color Infinity War print, and it's great. And it's only 1,000 of them are printed, and so I think over 100,000 people go to Comic-Con every year, so 1% of those people are going to get a chance to get one of these. And then once you go into the lottery, then they're going to pick out of that lottery and you have a certain amount of time to actually make the purchase. And then you have to pick them up at the conference. You can't have, they won't do any shipping. So you have to be in person, pick them up. You have to have your member ID associated with a 2018 ticket to even be able to be entered into the contest.
Yeah, so fudging it. Like, you have to have your ID to even enter the lottery.
So. I know I want one of these, but I know that to get one, flipped, to get one on eBay, these are going to easily go for 300 plus. Easily, because of
APs. I think, man. Just APs.
I think with oh man, I'll reach out.
I don't know if he's going to get APs. That's the thing, because it's a Comic-Con exclusive.
We'll find out.
I mean, we can always reach out and find out. But I mean, dang, it's a sweet print, and I've seen it. He had been posting snippets of him working on it for like the last couple months. So I kept thinking, I assumed it would be a Mondo release, but did not know that it would be quite to this scale. It's the first time Comic-Con has ever done anything like this.
Can I ask a dumb, I'm going to make a statement. It doesn't have to be a question. It can just be a statement. I'm not a huge fan of this print.
Why?
Okay.
And because there are so many characters in the print, it just looks like an absolute jumble to me.
Can I go back? It's not Infinity War. It is an Avengers print, and it includes all the different Avengers. So it has Ultron.
Yeah.
It has Hawkeye. It has Thanos. It has every single character from the MCU.
Yes.
There.
And so that being said, that is a lot of characters to fit on a page.
I think though. So I didn't like it at first too. I agree with you, Patrick. But as I've looked at it more and been able to pick out more like nuance and more design, I really like it a lot more.
Is there a variant of this one?
No,
because some of the picture, and it could just be like
there's a book that it's the also the cover.
Okay, so it's the coloring of the book makes it look changed because one looks a bit more muted than the other one. It just, so you said, Luke, you said you're now to the point that you really like the print.
I do like it. I like the muted version better than the punchy.
Well, it's Matt Taylor, so you know it's going to be very punchy.
I know, but I do like the muted better. It feels like the reds are too vibrant in the more saturated picture.
I want to know if anybody in our community is in the running to get one of these. So if you are in our community, hit us up, drop a line in the family channel and tag me in it, because I want to know how that process goes. I'm sad that I don't get an opportunity to get one of these. Maybe he will do some APs. But here's what I love about it. I love that it includes all the movies. In some ways, I feel like I could maybe get rid of a couple of my other posters that are like individual movie specific.
And just consolidate
because it's so great. And I love Matt Taylor's work, obviously, anyway. Seems like it could be an all-inclusive print. You know what I mean?
So I'm looking at, like, the post here has comments below it, and people are saying, where's Spidey? It doesn't look like Spider-Man's in this print, which is strange.
No, Doctor Strange is there.
Yeah.
You know, but if he's not...
But Quicksilver is. What the heck?
Well, that's the thing. There's no Spidey,
I don't like that as much.
Wait, is Quicksilver on loan from Sony, too?
No, Quicksilver was in Age of Ultron.
Sorry, I was getting confused with someone else. So in that case, I would guess that it has to do with the licensing from Sony.
Probably.
That would be my knee-jerk reaction.
Yep, you're probably right.
Probably.
Yeah. So
that sucks. Now that I know that, it does make me like it less, because Spidey's like my guy. He's my favorite.
Who did I think of when you said Quicksilver? Who's the X-Man?
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
So I'm not getting confused.
Nope.
You're confused because the
different actors.
The Marvel universe at large is confused.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. All right, so on that note, we should move on. Yep. Andrew, take
sure.
It.
So I mentioned briefly last week that I saw a film. It's called Upgrade. I'm going to do a quick review of it, and then we'll move on because there's not. I'll give you my number right away on it. I think this movie gets a 6.5.
Lowest number you've ever given.
It's pretty low. It is pretty low.
That's the equivalent of a 3 from me.
Still,
but go
higher
ahead.
Than my Last Jedi rating.
Yeah, there's not much that's lower than your Last Jedi rating, though.
That's
to
true.
Be fair,
that's true.
So this film Upgrade just came out this year, a couple weeks ago. It is what I thought originally was Tom Hardy. It's not Tom Hardy.
No.
It's Logan Marshall Green. And he's the lead in it, and you find this out.
Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. You find like this Mr. out Pibb. in the trailer that he is in an accident of some sort. Clearly some shadiness has gone down with some people. His wife gets killed. He gets paralyzed. He becomes a quadriplegic. And then there's this piece of technology that has been invented called STEM that can help him walk again and act. It gets implanted on his spine. It interacts with him. It's a new bit of technology. And on top of that, it talks to him. It connects with his what's the word I'm thinking of? Where it speaks to him inside of his head. Well, I can't think of it right now. But it talks to him, and he can interact with his thoughts, actually. He speaks out loud. It can hear what he's saying, process it, and talk back to him in his ears to where only he can hear it. It looks – and so he goes to try to find these people who did this to his wife. And you can imagine now this has made him a bit of a superhero, right? And in the trailer, there was the regular release trailer, which was pretty aggressive as is. And then there was the Red Band trailer where you see a lot more of the grisly nature of this film. Like, for instance, the guy takes a knife, puts it in between a guy's lips, and pulls back to essentially sever all the way back to where where it would hit his jaw. That's in the trailer. That's in the Red Band trailer. Very, very grisly. A lot of these things that you would expect. There's some twists and turns in it. He's the obviously this is not okay with law enforcement. They're trying to find how these people end up dying, and he always kind of seems to be around, but he still pretends to be a quadriplegic in front of everybody else. And STEM can actually turn off his pain sensors. So like there's times where to check to see if he really is a quadriplegic, they stab him in the leg and he doesn't flinch because he can't feel it, because it turns off his pain receptors. The movie I thought had a really cool, intriguing kind of premise to it. But ultimately I felt like the story landed short. And while it was very action-packed and kind of fun in a couple of moments, which is kind of a morbid sense of fun, it just kind of landed short. I didn't end up caring about the characters quite as much as I thought I should, as far as being invested in them. So, like I said, I'd give it a 6.5. I think this is a movie you can absolutely wait till it comes out on iTunes or goes on Redbox or whatever, stream it, maybe wait till it hits Netflix or whatever, and you won't miss anything by not seeing it in theaters. I would go see several other things before seeing this.
Go ahead.
But if you hit a lull and you've seen all of the major releases and you've got a movie pass, heck, why not? You know, sure. go check it out.
Wasn't there another movie? I don't know if it came out last year or if it hasn't come out yet, with the same basic premise of there was like a implant or a virus or something that people were injecting in themselves to like push their body beyond the normal limits. And one of the guys like goes crazy. It's like more of a thriller horror movie, but he becomes the guy that's hunting everybody down. I feel like I've seen trailers for it. It might've been last year. It might be on Netflix.
Yeah, this isn't 100% unique in terms of the story that it's telling, but it is different than what you're
sure.
Your typical movie that comes out.
Yeah,
there's a handful of other movies that maybe live in this genre. This one definitely takes it to an extreme. And
I just don't like when I just don't like when those two ideas come out around the same time. I feel like two movies that have the same basic ideas. I hate that.
Like Book of Life and
Coco.
What? The other one that's like that?
Bugs Life and Ants.
Bugs Life and Ants is a better example.
Boom.
So I would say it's enjoyable enough if you've got nothing else going on, or if, you know, you just want to see a dude movie. Sure, you know, why not? But 6.5 is what it gets from me. And I think that's going to be it for my category.
Cool. I'll take it away. I'll keep it super short because there's not much to talk about. I went and saw Jack White. He was incredible. He's always incredible. I think this is the fourth time I've seen him or something like that. Just super good, super charismatic. It was the first concert I've ever been to that had the Yonder pouches. Do you guys know what those are? Those are the pouches you put your cell phone in and then you can't. It was so awesome. It was so awesome to watch a concert without people holding their phones up or turning their flashlights on their phones for songs or, you know, like I wasn't even thinking about, you know, checking anything. The only thing I missed is I didn't have a watch to know what time it was. So I was just like, I don't know what time it is. But he
What happens if like babysitters need to reach?
So you have your phone with you, and if it, they ask you to put on silent and vibrate. If for some reason it goes off, there are places you can go outside of the amphitheater and they will unlock your phone, unlock the little pouch, and you can take phone calls or make texts or whatever. So it's, you still have access to it. You just have to leave the place where the show is actually going on. So it was really, really refreshing, but his show was incredible. But I had art and design and I wanted to talk about, stage set design, because for the most part, most rock bands, it's just the people on stage and there might be a big, huge banner in the back or maybe some like TV screens, but Jack White always has a set, some sort of set. This time he had, a half circle, three step tier, and all of his band members were on the top tier. And then he was in the middle. He had his big thing is three, the number three. So he had three monitors. He had a microphone with three, a microphone stand with three microphones. And he had three LED screens behind it, like, vertical orientation. So it looked like Roman numeral three. And, oddly enough, he has four other people in his band. So that was kind of weird, but it was five people together. So that split it pretty nice, but it was really cool because he could go up those steps and interact with everybody in his band. The drummer was right on the side, not in the back middle like normal, and then the bass player is right there, and then two keyboards on the other side, and then he had a piano set up in the middle that he played a couple songs every once in a while. But it was cool to see a show where he puts a lot of thought into what am I presenting to the audience? What is this show? Not just I'm going to come out and play some music. Everybody's going to have fun. I'm going to, you know, and it's going to be loud. It's what is this whole, like, what is this whole production? And how do I bring people into this idea? And there's a lot of other bands that do these. You see it more in pop acts, not necessarily as much in rock bands and smaller venues. You just don't see it because there's stage requirements don't work. But that's also to me, his shows are always a very cool set design. What are some to you guys that you've been to that were like really sweet set designs that you can think of?
Newsies. You know, the thing is, I just haven't been to a lot of shows. I mean, I tend to...
I'm not talking about, like, Broadway shows. I'm talking more just concerts.
No, I know. And the joke is that I don't really go to concerts. I go to Broadway shows because of McKinsey, but I don't really go to concerts. I do watch a lot of online concerts, like concerts on YouTube and stuff. One thing that I love, I'll relay quickly, is that Billy Joel, his piano's on a platform that spins.
Nice.
And so throughout the show, he can look at, like, everybody will get a view of him because the whole thing is on a 360-degree platform. The second thing I like, and this is not really related, but kind of, every show, he said he doesn't like the people that sit up front because it's always the rich people. He makes a comment about how loud they are because they're jewelry clinging together. So every show, he always finds like a row of people from the very back of the auditorium, and he has reserved seats on the front row for them.
Nice.
Because he wants to make sure he's bringing like that crowd to the front of the venue as well.
Nice.
So I really like those two things that he does. Honestly, a lot of the bands that I watch though have like zero when it comes to states, like someone like Biffy Clyro, not a lot going on. Three guys standing up there and that's about it. So,
yeah, I think the coolest show I've ever been to was Jason Mraz's show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at House of Blues. But I would say a lot of that was not because of the stage set as much as it was the ambiance of House of Blues. That's a great venue.
Right.
Because it feels very intimate. Like yeah. that setting feels very intimate. I take that back. An incredible set, actually, was back when I was a young teenager. I went with my sister to see Backstreet Boys at an arena. It was an arena show. And they came out of a volcano that was off to the side, like an erupting volcano, on hoverboards. They were attached to, like, cables and came out on hoverboards and flew to the center of the stage. That was pretty rad.
Yeah, that would be rad.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so maybe I just have one more distinction. That's super cool. But I think the reason that Jack White, like, sticks in my mind on this is because it's generally a smaller venue. It's not you expect that stuff from big arena shows, like, you know, how U2 has their whole array and Coldplay has a whole thing and big, huge arena bands have sets. But to be into, like, a medium venue like the Jacobs Pavilion in Nautica in Cleveland, it's cool to see an actual set being brought in that they travel with.
Yeah, as opposed to just, like, a bar scene.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, that's it.
It looks cool.
I had art and design, and it was pretty cool. It was a cool concert. If you've never seen Jack White, go see him. Other than that, I think that's all we need.
All right. Well, then that makes it done for this episode. You can find all of these show notes and links to everything we just talked about on mofonepodcast.com, where you can find a whole other just smorgasbord of incredible guests that we've had on throughout the years. And so check it out while you're there. And while you're there, you can go to shop.mofonepodcast.com, buy some swag, support the show, get a cool hat, get a mug in righty or lukey. And what is it? No, it's right-handed and luke-handed are the two mug choices you can get. Get a t-shirt, get
one of them has two handles.
Yep.
Lucas, he shakes a bit.
Just call it. I have a... Yep, nope. Okay, I'm just going to keep moving. And you can support the show on Patreon. Hey, our patrons are incredible. We love them so much. And it's not just because they give us money, but it's because they believe in the show enough to support it. And that takes some special people. And so because of that, we're able to continue to do what we do, make it better. We have some plans ahead of us for how to make our YouTube page better. If you haven't noticed, we haven't... put the last couple of episodes onto YouTube. We're kind of revamping how we do that, what content goes on there. We're not off of YouTube forever, but we're going to do something better for you.
We want to take what we've learned and do it right.
Exactly. Sure. So that's what we always want to do. We always want to iterate and we always want to get better. So
on that note, we have a new patron real quick, Servando Sanchez.
Hey.
So that's our newest patron for this
Servando.
Week.
He's a rad guy. So thank you so much for being a patron and for everybody who's a patron. I think other than that, you can support the show by rating and reviewing it. That helps us so, so much. Do we have any new reviews? We should look that up and we'll read them next time
if we don't have any.
If you've been listening to the show for a while and you haven't left a review, that makes us sad. Like, why not? what's the reason for that?
What would we ever do to you?
So take a few minutes to rate and review the show. Subscribe, like, follow, share. Do all those things. It's so helpful to us. It doesn't cost you any money. It takes you very little time, but it helps us so, so much. I think we're going to get out of this episode now, though. I am Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.